Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
How you doing, Bev?
I'm doing great. It is just beautiful outside, and I want to spend as much time outside as possible.
You bet, yeah. Well, Bev, before we bring on our guests for today, I have to ask you, we just celebrated the 22nd anniversary of 9/11 this past Monday. My question to you, do you recall what you were doing on that fateful day, or excuse me, September the 11th, 2001?
Oh my gosh, glued to the TV all day. Glued to the TV and sending a lot of prayers and just couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it. You know, it's just like, where were you when President Kennedy was shot?
Right.
You know, and I remember that day as if it was yesterday too.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me delight to bring on our guest for today. You're going to recognize him. You're going to be so thrilled and happy to hear from this individual. It's been like forever since I know many of you have heard from this person. So I am just excited to bring on at this time a good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, and I'm sure yours as well, Mr. Harvey House. Harvey, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you, Chip and Bev.
Well, you know, Harvey, I don't know whether to thank you or whether to blame you for getting me involved with MCB. You and I go back to, I think the first time you and I met was like 1990, and you and I struck up a great friendship conversation. You were trying to get me involved. One of the things that we had in common back there then, you were a guide dog user, I was a guide dog user, and I know you did everything that you could to get me to join the Southwest Missouri Friendship Council at the time, and I kind of fought you a bit on it, but finally gave in. So I'm here today primarily, ladies and gentlemen, because of my good friend, Harvey House.
Thank you, Harvey, for bringing Chip into the fold.
My mother lived in Joplin, Missouri, and of course I lived in Webb City, Missouri. But my daughter and I had come over to Joplin and was getting some groceries for my mother. And the grocery store, I met Chip and Linda Haley. And so I talked to them and told them, you know, we had a club and invited them to come join us. And he was very reluctant, but he did.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to find in the produce department, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Harvey, we started out, you and I talking about, you know, where you got your dog. And, of course, where I had gotten mine, I got my dog from Sing Eye there in Morristown, New Jersey. And at that time, which dog did you have at that time? Do you recall?
I had Charlie.
That's what
Charlie
I thought.
Charlie was from Leader Dogs for the Blind in Rochester, Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah. And so how many dogs now have you had?
I had four. My first three were very good dogs. Of course, you know, they're all individuals. They're all different. But the last one I tried had been out before to another gentleman, and they had taken him back. And I called when my last dog had to put her down when she was 16 years, 4 months, and 11 days old.
Mm, and okay. Yeah.
But they brought me down another dog, and bless her heart, she was a beautiful little dog, yellow lab. But she had bad bathroom habits. She went to the bathroom every time I walked her.
Mm.
And finally, after about 2 months of it, I walked her one time without her going to the bathroom on my walking route.
Yeah, yeah.
And which was about 2 miles. And I just had to send her back. So I've been without one now for about 4 years.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
was fortunate. My doctor lives up in the next block from me, and his wife walked me for a couple of years until she went back to work. She was a nurse, and of course, him being a doctor, she worked there in his office now. I haven't really had any good exercise for a couple of years, so I'm getting mean and ornery.
Yeah. So, Harvey, have you, all the dogs that you've had, they've all been labs?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, okay. Well, Harvey, like we mentioned before we started the recording, we like to start off really actually talking about your vision loss. So what was the cause or result of your vision loss?
Optic neuritis is what most doctors want to call it. Dr. Butler, where I first went, said he thought it might be Leber's disease. And but every other doctor I've talked to has just said optic neuritis. The okay. optical nerve died a little bit at a time. First time I was 30 years old, and we had gone down on Labor Day weekend to Table Rock Lake, took my bass boat, stayed with a friend of ours that had a houseboat. We swam and fished and peed, and coming home Monday night, I had a little problem looking into the sun, heading back home. And the next day when I got up, the top half of my right eye lost the vision there.
I see, yeah. Now, so you are totally blind?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Chip, that was 1970, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The first time.
Yeah. Okay. So also, Harvey, tell us a little bit about your family. Do you have brothers, sisters? I know Kim, your daughter. Share with us a little bit about your family.
Okay. I had three older sisters that's all passed away by now. My oldest sister was 16 years older than me, and she lived to be 98.
Wow.
Yes. The next one, the middle one, was 93 when she passed away. And then my youngest sister was 84 when she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my dad died when I was 3.
Mm.
And I never really knew him. Most everything, I have any memory of is what people have told me.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I was raised by 4 women. My mother would have told you.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I married had 2 children, Kevin and Kim. And back at that time, 1970, when it started, Kim was about 5 and Kevin was about 8.
Okay.
And so I just started to say later on, after the kids were raised, we got divorced in 1986. And so I had custody of Kim then for a few months till she turned of age. And she was in college and playing softball for Missouri Southern. And she later on went to be All-American. Her junior year, second team All-American, and first team All-American her senior year, she played third base. So,
yeah.
But then Kevin had a drug problem, and he ended up taking an overdose when he was about 42.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Yes. So that's, you know, that's a hard thing to lose.
Yeah, but, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You bet.
Yeah, but, and could not control it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Harvey, tell me, how old are you now?
84.
84, okay.
And he's got a ways to go to pass his sisters, so
yeah,
Harvey's
yes,
going to live to be
yeah.
over 100.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I have emphysema and COPD, so, of course, I was always a smoker, still do. Smoke about a half a pack of cigarettes a day, but... also, emphysema, I weigh 112.8 pounds now.
Wow.
You see it. But I still get around good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any problem coming up and down the steps. I huff and puff a little coming up 36 steps to my living room from the dock.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
I've got two boats in a fishing dock.
Yeah. Yep. So,
a lot of time down there.
Oh yeah. We'll get into that in just a moment. But also wanted to mention you are still with your significant other, Marilyn.
Yes.
And you were telling us how she's doing. Why don't you share a little bit about your time there with Marilyn?
Okay. When I started looking for a house down here. She lived there in Joplin, and I lived in Webb City. And whenever I started looking, I wanted to just rent a house, boat someplace or something like that, or buy one. And there just was not much available that weren't houses. So... when I moved down here, she decided she was going to move down with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been down here 26 years now and hadn't run me off yet.
And Harvey, you were telling us before we started the recording, and it wasn't something that Bev and I had actually planned, but as we were talking, that you actually moved down to Grove, Oklahoma, where you're at now, on this day. September the 13th.
Correct. I bought this house August 26th when I paid for it. And 2 days later, well, that day I had them put in new trees to help with the fishing. Some on cable and some on the bottom. And 2 days later, I worked on our class reunions, which I just had my 65th last October.
Mm-hmm.
And three of the girls and one of the girls' husbands came down and painted the inside of the house for me.
That was nice. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My appendix burst.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what it was at that time, but it happened on our way home. We were on Number 10 Bridge there on Elk River. Mm-hmm. And I told Marilyn to pull the car over. I just had a horrible pain.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she couldn't. She was on the bridge.
Oh.
As soon as she got across it, I got out and squatted down there by the car, you know, with my...
Wow. Wow.
Oh, and my gosh.
I didn't go to the hospital then. I just had her take me home.
Mm.
And then that was on Thursday. And Sunday morning, I called her to take me to the emergency room. And that's when we found out it was my appendix, and they operated on it that night. And, of course, had gangrene and peritonitis.
Yeah.
So a pretty bad case of it. Mm-hmm. Back when we moved down on the 13th, my brother-in-law and sister came back from Vegas to help me move. Errol Pori, Jim Crane, and a couple of my fishing and hunting buddies, Gary and Wayne Williams, and helped me move. And I wasn't supposed to lift over 5 pounds. And when we were out in the garage, they needed a letter to check something, and I reached up and got the letter and set it down and had another bad pain. It evidently weighed more than 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they got everything loaded up and moved down here on the 13th, and I couldn't help at all.
Well, Harvey, Linda, my wife and I have been to your place a couple of different times. You've got a beautiful place down there on the Grand Lake of the Cherokees. You mentioned about your fishing dock, and I teasing you earlier before we started the recording that I know oftentimes you decided to take the easy way and just slide down on that ramp on your behind to get there in a hurry so that you could do some fishing. And I know I can't shoot. There's probably been thousands of crappie that you have caught over all these years. And I'm wondering if there's even any crappie left in the lake down there.
Not as many as when I started, but they've also pulled the lake down. They always try to keep it around 745.
Mm-hmm.
Above sea level, and now they drop it down to 742 in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's hurt my fishing a little bit, but I still catch more than I can eat, and I give them to many, many, many people.
Yeah. Well, Bev, I know you've got some questions that you're just dying to ask Harvey.
I'm all over the place here with different questions. I want to go back to your guide dogs. Do you have any stories you'd like to share, especially getting your first guide dog and the experience you've had with them?
You know, I was fortunate. A friend of mine that was about 3 or 4 years older than me, and he was a lifeguard. I lived a half a block from Cunningham Park in mm-hmm. Joplin when I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his sight similar to me.
Oh,
his name was Raymond White. And he had a guide dog named Hank.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I know we tell people not to pet him.
Mm-hmm.
But Raymond always let me pet Hank, because
mm-hmm.
I love dogs too. I had hunting dogs that I didn't fish with, and Hank, when we'd see him, Raymond walked a lot at the mall at that time. Him and Hank got hit by a car on 15th and Main Street in Joplin.
Oh no.
Yes. It didn't do him, either one, too much damage, but mm-hmm. he walked in the mall an awful lot later in life. And every time Hank would see me, he'd bring him over to me.
Oh.
And so I've always let people go ahead and pet my dogs too. I guess I'm just a dog lover. But anyway, with my first dog, you know, they're all different in temperament and so forth, but main thing that I was going down, a lot of times on Monday, the restaurant where I ate dinner most days, there on the corner in Webb City, where Range Line comes in, Highway 71, there's a McDonald's there now, but it was an Ozark restaurant then. I'd eat there most of the time. But on Mondays, when they were closed, I'd go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'd pay my bills and go to the bank and so forth. And this one particular place where, I don't know if you remember, but downtown, they used to have basement windows and cover them over with grates, metal grates.
Yeah.
And one time when we were going down there, Charlie stopped and I told him forward and he wouldn't go and I told him forward and he wouldn't go. And I stepped my foot a little farther ahead and I didn't touch anything. And about that, a man came out of that and said, "Oh my gosh, just stand right there." And he was cleaning out the basement. And it was, of course, about half a block from Main Street. And he had boards crossing the sidewalk and down into that hole.
Mm-hmm.
So there was nowhere that Charlie could take me.
Mm-hmm.
So after he got those boards out of my way, he told me I could go ahead and pass now. And so Charlie went left a couple of steps and then took right and then started on down the street. And I just stopped him and gave him a big hug.
Oh, wow.
Gonna kill myself, you know, if that hadn't happened. And so from then on, he never would walk over that grate. He always took me around that grate. And of course, there, you know, they had about an inch strip, so where they had vertical bars coming up. To, anyway, that was one of the things that I just never would forget about him. And another time they were painting the front of one of the buildings where I took a right to go down to the pizza place where I ate. And he stopped and wouldn't go forward. And so I told him forward and he wouldn't do it. So about that time, a friend of mine worked for the Wise Buyer, and he took her a picture.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wow.
He had to pose.
Yeah, yeah.
They were painting that, and there was scuffing in my way.
Uh-huh.
And so he took a picture of it and put it in the paper telling where my dog was disobedient.
Wow.
And so then he helped me sort of get around there and went on. But so that was two of the main things with Charlie. My second guide dog, he was a yellow lab. My second dog was Sam. He was a black lab. He wasn't full lab either.
Mm. Yeah, I remember Sam. Yeah.
Okay. one time coming back from downtown, there's a bunch of kids playing in the lot where I came around the corner from Broadway onto College Street where I lived, up about 2.5 blocks. And the kids were having a good time hollering and screaming. There's a little bit of a park there. And he kept looking over at them. And so there was a bridge up there with no rails on it. But it did have a couple of cables going across it. Of course, I passed there hundreds of times going downtown. And where he kept looking, I could feel him looking back at those kids. And so I stepped him and stepped my foot behind him, which I should have stepped in front of him, as you too well know, with your dogs. But anyhow, for some reason, I checked behind him. I slipped off that bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was, it's 10 or 12 foot down to the bottom with the rocks.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just happened that I sat on that bottom cable, and he had both of his feet on the bridge helping hold us up. Of course, it was summertime, and I was in my shorts, and I could feel my knees were bleeding. But I pushed him up and got him off, up on the bridge, and then I feel strong enough to pull myself up. And when I got off the bridge, I just laid down there at the edge of the road. And some people I knew happened to drive by at that time. And they had a pickup. They was just coming back from the grocery store. And so they took Sam and I home. And I crawled in bed. I washed my knees off first, and I crawled in bed and just laid there. And that was one of the main things that I thought about Sam. But after we moved down here, he wasn't much of a fisherman. So he in the spring is when I catch most of my fish. When I come in to spawn, I live halfway in a cove. And so anyway, I got ready to go to the house, and I just let Sam run loose on the dock. Well, he wasn't there. I hollered for him, and he didn't come. So I came up to the house and told Marilyn. And she went outside and looked around and called him. So she finally got the car and went up the street and caught him walking. He decided he's going to take a walk. I did or not.
He was done with fishing.
Yeah. And talked to him. And he crossed the street and came back down on the left-hand side. He wouldn't get in the car with her. he walked all the way home with her.
Oh, my gosh.
He did that one more time when I was catching too many fish and not doing it. But my third guide dog, they brought her down to me. I was having a few health issues at that time. And hold on just a minute. Anyway, they brought her down to me.
Oh, good.
And so she was a fishing dog. I let her kiss the keepers. And so anytime I caught a keeper, I'd take it over. I kept her on a tie down.
Mm-hmm.
And a little story about that later too, but anyway, several times when she saw that they weren't keepers, she went, oh, and I tell you what, I had more fun fishing with that. It was just great. Also, she liked people. And when I would take her walking, and of course, see a lot of the neighbors that we knew all the time. And if she saw somebody she thought would pet her, she'd just take me out of my way and over and let them pet her. And of course, as both of you know, that's a no-no.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I always felt pretty safe down here walking. And so I didn't have a problem with it. But a lot of times when I'd let her loose and go fish outside, and the boat slips, I'd cast my line down, stand at the end of the boat dock, going out towards the middle of the cove. And she would run down and then come walking back watching that line. And if I caught a fish, she'd bark and, you know, and she just thought she was what she was supposed to do if I caught one. And she'd see my line. And so, of course, a lot of people got a kick out of watching her do that. But one time, Gary Williams, my old hunting and fishing buddy, and we also coached a girls' softball team together until I had to quit. We were catching white bass. Very seldom do they come in the cove. But they were surfacing and, you know, getting shad, which is their bait fish for the lake. And I was standing on the end of the little boat slip, and Gary was on the end of the big boat slip, thrown out in the middle where they were feeding. And he'd catch one, and she'd run over to him and and kiss it, and then I'd catch one, and she'd come over to my side and catch it. And finally, after, we'd probably caught 10 or 12 by then, she just decided she's going to catch one herself and just jumped in.
Oh, my gosh.
Where she didn't catch her fish, but Gary got her to come to him, and he pulled her out.
And I guess she needed a bath after that, huh?
Yes. Yes. In fact, that one other time, I didn't know she was there, and I bumped into her and knocked her in the lake. And I laid my pole down and got her, hold of her chain around the collar and jerked her out. So, yes, we take baths two or three times. I had so much fun with those dogs. I'd suggest anybody do it, but don't do some of the stuff I did wrong.
Well, Harvey, to think you've gone through your appendix bursting and fallen off a bridge, and God's not done with you yet. He's got jobs for you.
I don't know. I hope it's catching more crappie.
Yeah, there you go. Take care of that. And teach others how to fish. I remember my dad used to take me fishing. He knew all the farmers, and the farmers' ponds were from some of our favorite places. And, ooh, when I caught a catfish, oh, that one scared me to take that off the hook. So
I don't like to take them off either. I do catch several. In fact, I caught one time that weighed 21 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Whoa.
I caught it on 6-pound test line. A little old cheap Zed Gold rod and reel.
Yep.
I had for people that came down and fished with me mainly, you know.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I hollered for Marilyn to come down and net it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get her, but neighbor that lives, I live on a dead end street. Three houses down from me, it's a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
So people lived there, heard me hollering for Marilyn, and she sent her husband down.
Uh-huh.
But by that time, Marilyn also came down and helped net the fish. But we couldn't lift it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I certainly didn't want to put my hand down in its mouth with a jig. And about that time, the neighbor got down here. And so he helped get it out of there. And then another friend of mine that cleaned a lot of fish for me before he passed away, he was coming in from a cruise that afternoon, and I didn't want to meet, so I gave him the fish.
Oh, I love to eat catfish, Harvey.
Have you ever had crappie?
Yes, we caught a lot of crappies.
Okay, I think crappies are always better than catfish, though.
You know, there's a place, a restaurant close to where I live, that they have smoked catfish fillets. And I've never had it before that wasn't breaded. And I wasn't sure about just smoked catfish. Oh, my gosh, it is so good. So good.
I never cared for catfish. But when I was younger, I'd go catfishing and give them to my mother. She liked them.
Yep.
And many times I caught catfish, I would always stop by and give them to Mom.
Yep. Did you clean them for her?
Yes.
Wow. You're a good son.
Well, of course, most of that time was back when I could see, too.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
a lot of difference. And so, but really, these last few years since I've been down there, Marilyn cleaned them for quite a few years till she couldn't get down there. And then a couple neighbors that I fish with, let him put his boat in my dock. And then he cleaned my fish for me, so.
There you go. Good trade.
You bet.
Now, you were blind when your kids were little, right?
I started going blind when I was 30 years old.
Oh,
the
wow.
First time I lost the top half of the right eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still playing softball at that time, too.
Mm.
In fact, we had won the league the year before in Joplin. We were from Webb City,
mm-hmm.
but there was probably 20 teams, but we won the championship.
Wow.
But then the next year, when I lost that sight, I caught played the catcher's position.
Mm-hmm.
And it was slow pitch at that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't watch the ball as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started losing more of it in the left eye, they tried to put me out in right field, and I could not judge a fly ball.
Oh, gosh.
I had 5% in that left eye with a point of vision, and
mm-hmm.
15% in the bottom of my right eye.
Mm.
So it, I just didn't have the depth perception. But
mm-hmm.
I did kill 5 deer with a bow and arrow after I had to retire March 28th
uh-huh.
in 1978. I went down and scouted with my Gary Williams, my hunting and fishing buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And scouted for him. And so I bought a bow and arrow. I shot left-handed when I was a young kid. My right middle finger got cut off in a lawnmower when I was 3 years old. My sister, that was 3.5 years older than me, was pushing it, and I was picking up a stick, and so they, of course, took me to the doctor, and they tried sewing it back on, but it wouldn't last, but they did put a brace around it.
Mm-hmm.
So the tip grew around that aluminum brace.
Oh.
So I could not shoot a bow and arrow with the two fingers of that right hand. So I learned left-handed when I was just, had a little lemon wood blow when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happened where that point of vision, you know, at the distance where you kill a deer is much larger than trying to read a newspaper or something, one word at a time.
Yeah.
Up close. So I did kill 5 deer with a bow and arrow. And I loved it. But like I said, I was 39 years old when I had to quit working. So,
and what kind of work did you do?
I sold insurance for Prudential when I was younger. I finished sheetrock there in Joplin, and then I moved to Las Vegas, where all three of my sisters lived, after I was married. And worked down there a year, and construction went dead in Nevada. And I went on down to California for a couple of years. Then I moved back to Joplin in 66.
Oh, and wow.
Cousin and I went in business together. I finished sheetrock, and he was a tile setter. So we worked with each other, and Prudential, trying to straighten my insurance around, talked me into going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked for them for about 11 and a half years. And it was about 1970 when our union contract was up that we got lifetime disability after
mm-hmm.
10 years of service.
Ah, good.
Yes, that's what saved me, is what allowed me to buy this house down here.
Mm-hmm.
I was also, right at that time, it was pretty stressful. I was president of the local 212 in Springfield, Missouri, the Insurance Workers International Union.
Yeah.
And also, I was a chairman of the Webb City had just started the solid waste board. And I was chairman of that, so I had my hands pretty full. And the doctor sort of felt like stress helped when I lost my eyesight.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yes. You know, I'm getting nervous or whatever, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But so that.
So many times we're told, get rid of that stress. Well, it's not that easy, is it?
No, no. Especially when you know you're trying to live your life and do things you want to do.
Yeah.
And so after I went in disability, I hunted and fished for about 10 years and raised the kids.
Mm.
And went to Colorado deer hunting a couple of times too, which was fun and exciting for me.
Uh-huh.
Also went down to Toledo Bend 15 times, catching bass, which that was the thing back then. But had a pretty full life, and then about 89, when I finally lost that 5% vision in my left eye is when I went to get my first guide dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost that sight on January 16th.
And that's my birthday.
Is it? That was my son's birthday also. But Martin Luther King's birthday too.
Yeah, his 15th. And that was when they had to remove my left eye the day before my birthday. You know, okay, well, something to remember.
Oh, yes. Know how that goes.
Yeah. I better turn this back to Chip before he fires me.
Okay.
Well, I'm just sitting here enjoying the conversation. So.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's been really great. Harvey, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I'd like to kind of go back and then kind of jump forward quite a bit. As you mentioned, when I met you, you had told me about your selling insurance and that. And at the time, though, when I actually met you, were the president of the Southwest Missouri Friendship Council of the Blind. And I know, because we had talked, you met a lot of great people in MCB. You established a lot of great relationships. I know you were good friends with Edna Freeman, Kenny Emmons,
yes,
and Don and Bev Shockley. I mean, just so many wonderful people. And I remember times when Kenny would come to town, he stayed at your house a couple of different times.
Yes.
So Harvey, share with us what it was like, you know, been a part of MCB and some of the friendships that you really got to establish.
Chip, I've been fortunate all my life. I was fortunate to have a good memory, and that's got me along in life very well. But when I first joined Southwest Missouri, I already had my guide dog, and I, Jim and Charlene Crane.
I remember them.
They still come down they come down and see me 3 or 4 or 5 times a year. They were just here on first of the month.
Huh.
And, I was fortunate to meet so many good people. Shirley Brokaw was president of the MCB back at that time. And fortunate, I went to Denver for the ACB meeting in 1990 when Bush signed the American with Disabilities Act. And I met one of the readers of the books that I listened to at that time. I can't remember his name right now. Senior Moment. But he spoke at the convention, and I went out to have a cigarette later out in the hallway, and he come up, and Bob Askey.
Oh, mm-hmm. I remember that name.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do too.
He was a very good reader at that time. And anyway, he came up and wanted to know if he could pet my dog, and I said, sure. And I had Charlie sit, and he did. About that time, other people started coming out, and Sherry Brokaw was one of them. And people just come up and crowded around, and everybody wanted to talk to him. And so, you know, that was just another good time from a convention. And MCB, Edna Freeman, when I went to summer camp in 1990 for the first time. And, of course, that's where I met her. And Barbara Borgmeyer and several other people that were there at that time. And that's when it came up that you know, MCB had that $40 a week disability benefit. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and they asked me if I'd, since I'd been in the insurance business, if I would consider being a chairman for it. And after a little bit of thinking about it, I told her yes. And so then we had a couple of people, and I can't remember their names now, they're from Carthage. But anyway, after they moved, I got Chip and Linda Haley to help. You know, Linda was a smart one. Chip and I couldn't see nothing. So, they were on my committee for the rest of the time that I had it.
That was health benefits, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore, I don't guess.
Never yeah, we do.
We brought it back.
Yeah, we brought
Thank
it back.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
By popular demand.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything from the chairman of that committee on your tapes from the Chronicle.
Ooh, we got to get on her to write an article.
That is right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're still getting the Chronicle then?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just go ahead and finish your story there, Harvey. I'm sorry.
Where was I? When I got, of course, after the people from Carthage left, I got Chip and Linda to be on the committee. And, of course, Linda always wrote all the information down, but when I had to report to the convention, I had a good enough memory that I could just recite, you know, how many claims we had and mm-hmm. what amount and so forth. But and when I moved down here, my appendix burst. Well, of course, I could never come back to MCB, but I met so many nice people that let me pick their brain where I, you know, did not have the advantage that many young people do to go for the Missouri School for the Mind. You know, mine was later in life happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, and my fingers were not sensitive enough to read Braille.
Mm.
So I tried for a while, but it just weren't sensitive enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was still chairman when I moved down here. and had to leave the MCB and all the good people that went with it.
There's a lot of changes, and there's still a lot of good people, and we sure miss people like you, Harvey.
You mentioned another name,
Harold Pori. I feel blessed I got to meet Harold. You know, I didn't know Alice, but he came to camp, and I remember that last time he said, I don't think I can ever come back again. It's just too hard, and oh, gosh. I told him he'd be missed.
He used to come down here and see me, you know, a couple of times a year, too, after I moved down here. And then after Alice passed away, his birthday was February 5th, and mine was the 15th of February. So we always told each other happy birthday in that month. But anyway, after a year where she... after she passed away, I lost track of him. He got passed away.
Yeah, this year.
This year?
Okay.
Well, of course, I didn't hear that. I don't get any news from Joplin down here. We get all the Tulsa news. So.
Chip, will you call Harvey about once a week and keep him up to date on everything?
I guess I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to. Yeah.
I almost called you here when your driver wrote that article. He's driven for you 7 years?
Yes. Probably a little bit longer than that, but that's pretty close. Yeah. And actually, too, Harvey, you were on the board of directors for the Independent Living Center, where I worked for over 23 years. You were on the board there for the longest time. And my gratitude goes out to you because you were primarily responsible for making sure I got all those increases in my pay. So.
That's right. In fact, if you remember right, I got you to be on the board first before
That's
you went
right.
to work for them.
That's right. You sure did. You sure did. Yeah.
Trying to do a little work.
Yeah.
Take some of the pressure off.
Yep.
So, it takes a team, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yes. I was vice president, you know, whenever I moved down here. So... And there again, I was sort of dreading it was probably, you know, they was probably going to want me to run for president. And that's about the time I decided I'd really like to retire.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I was just saying I was so fortunate to meet so many good people through Southwest Missouri Friendship Chapter and MCB.
Yes.
Yep.
Hello to all my old friends. Especially Don and Ben Shockley, if they might hear this.
Right. Yeah. Well, Harvey, I wish we could spend a lot more time here with the interview. Yeah, you've always been such a good friend. Every time we've gotten to talk, you know, when Linda and I go down to the lake, oftentimes we're not far from where you're at down there. And especially during the Christmas holidays, I'd give you a call. We'd sit and reminisce and, you know, have a good time.
Aww.
And it's just always been so special. And I've always appreciated your friendship. And I just want to thank you so much for kindly, graciously consenting to be on our guest here today on Meeting the People of MCB.
I gotta say, I haven't stopped smiling since we started this call. It's just been such a joy. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Harvey.
I enjoyed you way back when. And I know you did a lot of work for MCB too, as well as Chip. So thank you for all your service.
Oh,
you bet.
Well,
you got to be sure to tell Marilyn, that we said hello, and certainly want to wish you both, safety and wellness and health and all the good things. So,
and happy fishing.
Oh yeah,
that's the main thing, Bev.
Yep, I love it.
Have a good day.
You too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everybody, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.